wonderful Monday morning. How can you be in such a good mood? Because it's Monday.
And it's fall. It's nice weather outside today.
Mm-hmm.
What a great weekend of weather as well. I mean, it was perfect all weekend long.
Oh, you better believe it, baby. You better believe it, man. Got Josh Klingler on the show today. Got Josh Vernier on the show today. Got DJ on the show today to react to that horrible Chiefs game on Friday night. If you still remember, that game happened Friday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then you had a barn burner of a college football game on Saturday. You had Sunday's slate, which was the NFL back in a just beautiful way.
Yep.
A wonderful game last night between the Bills and Ravens.
It's up for a game winning field goal.
But according to quarterback one in Buffalo, not everybody got to see that.
Our team didn't quit. I mean, I think there's people that left the stadium. That's okay. We'll be fine, but have some faith next time.
Wow. I mean, like calling out your own fans in the first game of the season is like, not exactly the way to get fans there, Josh.
40-25 with 3:59 left.
That's when I tapped out. Okay. Not going to lie. I went to bed. I'm not staying up for that. You know, I get up at 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's a 15-point lead with 3 minutes to go. I flipped it off. My wife goes, why are you turning that game off? I go, it's 40-25.
I was laying in bed. I was fading fast. And then I kind of wake up because I hear Tirico do that. And I'm like, oh, my God, they came back and won. Because I remember watching James Cook play. And I saw that play happen. And I'm like, okay, they're making some noise. Because, you know, somebody told us that Baltimore's defense might be the second best unit in the game.
Yeah.
But what do we know?
We don't know anything. Week one tells you literally nothing. It creates your mind full of lies, deceit, and misinformation. We don't know what to react. We don't know what to say about all those games that took place yesterday. Because you look at Buffalo winning 41-40, you're like, ooh, got to win. And you're like, they gave up 40 and still won a football game. I mean, my goodness, they gave up 40 yesterday and still had an opportunity and won a football game yesterday. So I don't know what it tells you about the NFL in week one, man. It's so bizarre. There's so many overreactions that we can have, you know, to week one and to that game in general last night.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Baltimore Ravens in this game. Cause like we say that week one, you know, you can't define your season in week one, right? Detroit lost, Chiefs lost,
right.
Ravens lose. And
Browns lost.
Well, that's par for the course, right? Like, that's just kind of how that happens.
Well, how they lost, too, is so Browns. I mean,
they cut their veteran kicker in camp to have this rookie come in.
And he missed two.
I mean,
and they lost by a point.
And the two interceptions Flacco throws are like, you know, glitchy plays that you watch on Madden where you're like, there's no way that guy picks that in real life. You're like, well, have you ever watched the Browns and Joe Flacco play football? I'll show you that that is actually an accurate interception.
That's right, yeah.
Props to Cincinnati, man. You know, there'll be a lot of hate that they won and how they won.
Yeah.
But let's go back in time and remember when we were all those Chiefs fans going, yeah, they blocked a field goal. They did this. They did that. They still won.
They
still win.
Yep.
They're 1-0. That's an insanely fast start for Cincinnati. I don't know how many times or how much you were invested into that game yesterday.
Not much, no.
Okay, so red zone, obviously, for me all day on the couch. I didn't move my fat ass once. And I think they said three times in that game that they were covering, just on NFL red zone, fast start for the Bengals, fast start for the Bengals, fast start for the Bengals. I'm like, we get it. Mm-hmm. They want to get off to a fast start. That's been the narrative in the preseason.
Yep.
That's been the narrative all day on this game. Not the fastest of starts. Jamar Chase, I don't even know if he showed up to play yesterday, but it didn't matter. They won against the Browns.
Right.
Congrats to them. The Bills, where's our Joe Burrow guy?
Yeah, is he?
Where's our guy that says Joe Burrow is better than Josh Allen? Because that guy that I saw last night in Sunday Night Football,
Josh Allen was brilliant, man.
That's the best quarterback right now in the game.
Yeah, he's playing better than anybody right now. Yep. Through week one, Josh Allen is playing quarterback better than anybody else in the NFL. And that's not a lie. That's a fact.
I would still take Patrick Mahomes because he tried everything he could in that game to will his team back. It just wasn't enough.
Right.
He ain't got a running back. But we knew that going into this season. They brought the same team back. And how many times do you guys get this text? Boy, this looks just like the Super Bowl loss. Looks like the same team from the Super Bowl loss. Mm-hmm. And the first half it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, Travis Kelce running 100 miles an hour and Xavier Worthy. I'm sorry to tell you guys this, but when 250 pounds means 170 pounds at full energy, that ain't a good matchup.
That was not a good matchup. That was a hell of a hit right there. I mean, so bad.
So, yeah, that Josh Allen hater, I'd like to see what your excuse is now.
But Joe Burrow is not the best quarterback in the NFL. And you know, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL, the guy you start your franchise with. But the best week one performance and the guy who's going to be at Patrick Mahomes' heels for the rest of eternity right now is Josh Allen. I mean, it was an unbelievable comeback by him and his team yesterday. Really bad by, call out Derrick Henry. Had a nice day running the football. I know the fantasy nerds probably are very excited with his performance. Uh-huh. But for me, Derrick Henry, you stink. You can't have that ball knocked out of your arm as you're trying to ice a game late. Like, you've got, and it wasn't even like it was a big hit or anything like that. It was laziness by Derrick Henry yesterday. And you've got to,
laziness.
The way he was carrying the football, he absolutely even said it after the game. I was lackadaisical.
Lackadaisical is the word I'd use. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it was lackadaisical.
Same thing. It's six of one, half a dozen of another. You're a veteran guy. Great. You padded your stats yesterday. You ultimately lost your team the game. You did. He was incredible. Padded his stats yesterday. Didn't get a win. When it mattered most.
He was the reason they were up 15.
When it mattered most, what did Derrick Henry do? He put the ball on the ground.
You're right. He should have played defense.
No, I'm not talking about defense. He shouldn't have put the ball on the ground.
But that's what cost that team the game. Yeah. He didn't cost his team 15 points with 4 minutes left in the game.
No, he did not, but he didn't help. You've got to hold on to that football, man. You've got to hold on to the football. It goes back to, we always want to blame the guys that we don't love. You know, we'll never blame Patrick or Bobby or Salvi or Travis. You know how it works. That's the way it is, and that's fine. But Derrick Henry yesterday, as a veteran NFL running back that's one of the best, if not the best in the game right now, you've got to hold on to that ball at the end, man. You cannot cough that ball up at the end and not get it done. And the Ravens, as a defense, how do you give up 41 points? I thought they're supposed to be a nasty, nasty defense. Again, that's my impression because it's the Ravens. I think we still think Ray Lewis plays for the Ravens, and they were talking about it on the broadcast last night, how this is some, you know, nasty defense. And I'm thinking to myself, it's the Ravens, it's a nasty defense, but just because they're the Ravens doesn't always mean they're going to have this nasty defense. And to give up 40 like they did last night to Buffalo, my God. I mean, that doesn't scream nasty defense to me. But again, it's week one. What do we know about week one? Because the Jets look good in week one, you know?
What I know about week one is Spags is washed.
Okay.
The Chiefs are washed.
Okay.
Jared Goff is washed. Jalen Hurts is MVP candidate.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Bo Nix is terrible, which he was.
He was awful. He was just disgustingly bad.
But here's the thing, and this is what I always love about the Titans. The Titans are bad everywhere on the field except their front four. That defensive line anchored by Simmons, like, that's a great, great
defensive line. Does everybody have a great defensive line now in the NFL? I feel like everywhere you look in the NFL, like, the Giants have a great defensive line. You mentioned, you know, Tennessee with their defensive line yesterday. Obviously, Denver's got a hell of a defensive line. Pittsburgh is supposed to have, you know, a good defensive line. Again, they gave up 30-some points to the Jets yesterday. But it feels like defensive lines, man, like, everybody's investing in that defensive line. The Eagles, great defensive line. You know, it's like everybody you turn to and look at has a great defensive line in the NFL right now.
Somebody says Joe Cool looks like Joe Lukewarm. but no, I think, you know, obviously we look at the Chiefs game, and I think the number one takeaway is that Xavier Worthy, in my opinion, is done for the season. I think it's just, there's so many similarities to what happened to Hollywood Brown. The only one that's not similar is how the injury happened. Right. Obviously, Hollywood Brown caught it, fell down, body on top, shoulder hits the ground. Xavier Worthy gets hit by a Mack truck wearing an 87 jersey. But again, everybody asks, you know, like, when it happened, like, oh, he's going to be fine. Like, no, as soon as they take his helmet away, he is done. Mm-hmm. Like, yesterday I was watching the Niners game in the 3 o'clock slate, and George Kittle's off to a hot start. And then all of a sudden they show George Kittle over the sideline. He's got a hat on, no helmet. I go, well, he's done for the day. Rappaport comes out. Schefter comes out about, what, 5 minutes later after that? George Kittle will not return with a hamstring injury. And then Scott Hansen comes on the TV. He's like, George Kittle, not going to return, hamstring injury. Let's go back to football. But again, I think the Xavier Worthy injury was the big story of the game. And we obviously will spend all day diving into that Chiefs game, especially on the other side of this break coming up. But I think the Xavier Worthy thing is the worst. And then the injury announcement comes out. And I had a fun time just going to the garage before I read the comments. Mm-hmm. And the first one is TB Ego. on the announcement of him with his shoulder injury. I can see all the excuses 15's fans will be making soon. I don't know what an excuse is, but yeah, he's hurt. He was your wide receiver one. Your entire game plan is scratched, yep. And I thought Hollywood Brown did a good job.
He did. Almost 100 yards receiving, 10 catches. Did a nice job for the Chiefs on Saturday night, or Friday night, I guess it was.
One of the voice of reason tweeted on the Xavier Worthy injury, torn labrum. He will need surgery at some point regardless, and almost all young players have had it done sooner than later, out for season. I agree with that. 100%. I think, at least in my opinion, I don't think we see Xavier Worthy unless this team makes the playoffs. And according to a lot of people in the city, this team ain't a playoff team in one game.
One game.
Somebody says Bills won the trade. Okay.
What trade? The Worthy trade? Yeah. I don't remember who the Bills got after the Chiefs traded up to get Worthy. I can't remember
who they
did.
No, not in that one. I remember the other one, the Kyer Elam one that they got, but no.
Never heard of him.
That's exactly right.
No, I've heard the name, but I couldn't tell you. I know Jason Elam more than I know the other Elam, right? It's crazy to think about it. But, I mean, look, you take away the number one wide receiver, and then your number two wide receiver is eliminated, and now all of a sudden you're going with your number three option. I mean, we're back to the same song and dance as where we were, a season ago. It really is.
It's the Chargers, the same thing. Right.
Literally
how crazy similarities this is. We're doing those live Instagram videos, but you think about it. Last year, Rashee Rice gets hurt. Mm-hmm. How'd he get hurt?
Friendly fire against the Chargers.
Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy. Rashee Rice coming off a great rookie year where he's supposed to step up and be wide receiver one in the next year, gets hurt against the Chargers from his own teammate.
Mm-hmm.
This year, Xavier Worthy, second year, coming off a good rookie year, supposed to be a solid receiver with Rashee Rice getting out. How does he get hurt? Against the Chargers, friendly fire.
Right.
It's crazy, dude.
It's wild when you think about it. But again, I mean, now it's time for these other guys to step up. We wondered why they were keeping 18 wide receivers around, right? We all thought it was for the Rice obvious suspension that you wanted to have some depth there. But now you really need some depth there at the wide receiver position, because you're probably not going to have Xavier Worthy. And even if you do, he's never going to be 100% until probably next season.
Right.
Obviously, you don't have Rashee Rice until the middle of October right now. Thank goodness Hollywood Brown stepped it up. But, I mean, it's going to have to be a lot of other guys stepping it up for this team to kind of move forward from an offensive standpoint.
One other tweet before we go to break. Put on some muscle, man. Literally just ran into someone and dislocated his shoulder.
Okay. Did you, like that right there just makes me laugh, because that is the half drunk football fans sitting around their house on Friday night thinking that, you know, Xavier Worthy doesn't have enough muscle on. He ran right into Travis Kelce, who was running full speed as he was running full speed. It was a head on collision. We're lucky nobody was dead after that thing.
The thing that pissed me off most about that play is that if he doesn't run into Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy catches that ball and he might
have he probably scores. Yeah,
straight
absolutely.
Up. They ran that crossing pattern just a little too crossing. Yep. There is a wide receiver that you can go get. I know exactly where he's at. He resides in Miami. We'll discuss on an Overreaction Monday here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karloftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Monday, starting a new week. Got one more game left. Chicago versus Minnesota tonight. Can't wait. Got to put some skin on that one tonight. Macaroni.
Big game tonight to finish off week one. A lot on the line.
I'm excited, man.
Hey, we saw Detroit without their coordinators. They didn't look so good, right?
No,
and now you've got the coordinator going to Chicago. Let's see what he can do, you know, with Caleb Williams. It'll be interesting to see how much the coordinators are going to really impact what goes on in Detroit. We warned you about that all off season long. It was my biggest concern about the Lions going in, was that were the coordinators really the stars of this team? And, you know, as we're going to make overreactions in week one, as we always do, and every day, right?
Sure.
You can say, yeah, obviously those coordinators were very important. I mean, you saw the Jets step up big yesterday. I mean, good God, I had no idea the Jets had that much kind of fight in them to go out there and play.
Solid,
and I mean, they were pretty good yesterday, right? And so you take Aaron Glenn away from the defense, and tonight we'll see what Ben Johnson can do, you know, on an offensive standpoint from the Chicago Bears against the Minnesota Vikings. So it'll be interesting to see if you know, week one with the Lions is an anomaly, or if week one is the new Detroit Lions now that Dan Campbell lost his two kind of lieutenants, if you will.
So, fellas, let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's talk about the loss, 27-21. Mm-hmm. Can't wait till we get to our scripts. I think the only
They went well.
I think the only thing that three of us got right was one of us got the score right, but it still doesn't matter because it was for the wrong team. So we'll start with the left tackle. Mm-hmm. Josh Simmons, grade for you guys.
I was very pleased. Very pleased. I mean, he stonewalled the dude at one point and toyed with a guy at one point. Like, I know going forward, if that's week one, there's so much good. There's so much room to grow. I'm fine with left tackle, man. I know I don't have to worry about that anymore.
A's a nice grade. I'd give him a B-ish. Like, not minus, not plus, just a B.
Just a solid B.
Solid B.
B's good. That's fair. Like, yeah.
That's better than what we've had the last. What they say in the graphic on Friday night, this is the 11th starting left tackle with Patrick Mahomes, where all those quarterbacks that struggle to get going in the league have, like, their, you know, third year in the league on their fourth offensive coordinator. Kind of the same. This is Mahomes' ninth year in the league, and this is his 11th offensive.
That's really insane. Now, are you counting 9 years in the league of the first year he didn't play, too? Or,
well, I guess he sat his first. This is his eighth year as a starter.
Because 8 years as a starter, and it makes it even better, right? It's greater for Mahomes when you say 8 years as a starter and 11 offensive tackles. I mean, that, or 11 left tackles for him. I mean, it's nuts.
Let's name him. Yeah, I'm kidding. No.
but could you?
Orlando Brown.
Right.
What's Kingsley Suamataia, Wanya Morris, Josh Simmons. And anyway, so more often this game.
Exactly. You'll forget the guy who played left tackle in the Super Bowl, the first one.
Joe Tooney,
like Danny Wisniewski.
Yeah.
Oh, Stefan Wisniewski.
Yeah. Who's the guy who blew out both knees on the same play against the? He played for the Jets. Oh, they brought him over, and he was running down the field.
Jumbo Elliott blew
out both knees on the same play. Who was that guy?
An offensive lineman for the Jets.
He's a Giant. Jumbo Elliott was a fantastic offensive lineman. I love Jumbo Elliott, part of the second Giant Super Bowl team. But
that's cool.
But who the hell was that guy that blew out his knees? Oh my God! No, it was like both. He went down. That was it, and they had to replace him too. So there's been so many people that have played that tackle position. So after watching Saturday, Friday, whatever the hell day it was that we watched that game, I'm good at left tackle, man. I love what I saw out of Josh Simmons. I'm really excited about his future.
Don't forget, we've got the live stream for you. We've got on YouTube. You can get in there, chat it up. How everybody's doing on a Monday. Somebody said in the chat, I'm upright and breathing. So that's good, Mike.
Hey, yeah, good.
There you go. But yeah, we dive into Josh Simmons' offense. Here's what I'll say about the offensive line. I don't need to see Juwan Taylor ever play offensive. I'm not trying to throw strays at you. At you two, but you both have gone on record saying that you are apologetics for him. I'm done.
I'm not apologizing for that, though.
I'm done. You know? That's it. We cannot have that on the offensive line. Juwan Taylor, I mean, I talked to Gold about this on Saturday. I was driving to Kansas because I have to until December 1st to put some skin on the Missouri and KU game. And I'm like, hey.
Do Kansas fans have to drive to Missouri after December 1st to do the other, or is it reciprocal at that point?
No, they're just always driving to Missouri to get that spinach. You got to come to Mizzou to get the spinach.
So it's not reciprocal on December 1st.
No.
You get the gamble, we get the weed. It doesn't work that way.
And then I don't go to the quick. If you ever want to find me, by the way, on Sunday at 11 o'clock, we'll come hang out and talk about bets. Quick Trip on Null.
Oh, that's the spot. My friend Tony goes there, too. Yeah, he's in that parking lot
across,
a lot.
Because I always have a very big debate with myself where I'm like, okay, we could just go to Winstead's right after and then go home because it's right there.
It's right there.
Is that Row? That's Row, I think, right?
I think it is Row.
There's a Quick Trip right there off Row, and it's so funny, dude. There are four random parking spots that have nothing to do with anything but betting, I promise you.
No, it's true. It's true.
Pump, 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 pump. Four spots. Nothing there. And no, you cannot tell me that it's for when the semis fuel up because that's behind it. So it's
what's going to happen on December 1st? They're going to close those parking spots.
I'm going to save money on gas.
you will save money on gas. That's about it, right?
So no, but and so yeah, my takeaway on the offensive line is that I just, man, Juwan Taylor, man, it's just you signed a guy in the offseason. The rookie won the job. Kingsley was fine at left guard. Right tackle has got to change. I mean, I'm saying like week two, because guess what? That team that you watch play Dallas, that has that same defensive line, that's got that spinner on there, they come into town at 325.
Yeah, you're going to need to have some different offensive line maneuvering going on the right side. I mean, that was bad. And look, I think you can separate what he does when he doesn't make mistakes versus the mistakes, but the mistakes overshadowed everything, you know, in that game.
It broke Travis Kelce, and
rightfully so.
And props to Travis.
Props to Drew Tranquil as well. I mean, props to both of those guys. for getting in the ear of veteran players and telling those guys to pick up the pace and to play a little bit better. I applaud both Drew Tranquil and Travis Kelce.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought up Drew Tranquil because at the end of the game, obviously us football nerds, we go back and look at it. Chris Jones overcommitted.
Oh, big time. It was a terrible play by Chris Jones.
And the Chargers beat the Chiefs in the way that the Chiefs normally beat a lot of teams. Oh, it's 3rd and 13. All we got to do is keep this between the first down marker. And then what happens? There goes Pat. And you're like, how does he always do this? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, all night, they were letting George Karlaftis overcommit and overcommit. And what did he do? Herbert just slid up into where that pocket was and then had all day to throw. He had no pressure from your defensive line.
Zero.
None. 74 the entire night. Travis Kelce had 2 catches. Congrats on your bet, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Plus 170. I didn't get that. No, I got that. I got it on the board in there as well.
And I think that's probably what started
that. Guess who I'm picking again this week?
Why not, dude? Strike while the iron's hot. So, again, like you look at that game and you look at what they were doing and letting George Karlaftis do, and it was like at the entire time, nobody was telling George, like, hey, stop going around. They're letting you have that because how many times have we seen
if it looks easy, you're not supposed to do it.
And how many times have we seen the Chiefs when they play when Bosa was on the Chargers and he would always just – and it was in the Super Bowl, too. Like, Nick Bosa would do it, too. They'd overcommit on that side, and Mahomes just slide up right there, and it creates so much time, and they take that pass rusher out. They're like, dude, we'll give you the outside. If you're going to keep taking it and keep going, we're going to give you that. And they did that all game long. And then the very end of the game, what happens? Boom. They let Chris Jones go outside. He goes way outside, and Justin Herbert takes a wide-open lane, slides down, smile on his face, and then Madison Breer and him and go have a great game night with a bottle of wine. Ain't done.
Yeah, but I think also, too, like, I'm glad we're having DJ on today because years ago he was the first player to really talk to me about, I've got to do my job. If I overcommit and I start trying to do the job of the guy next to me who's not getting the job done, I'm not doing my job. He's not doing his job. Now there's two less people doing their job. Chris Jones was trying to do the job of somebody else the other night. He got out of position, therefore took himself out of what he was supposed to be doing, and he owned it after the game. And I'll give him credit for that. He owned it after the game being out of position. But you can't be out of position. The NFL, man, it is a play here or a play there that makes all the difference in these games. And when you're out of position as bad as Chris Jones was the other night, and you leave that entire side of the field wide open, you lose a football game. It's one of the reasons why they lost. Juwan Taylor had 4 reasons why they probably could have lost that game. But, you know, Mac, and I'm looking at you on this one because you and I are on the same page. Mm-hmm. I still think he's a good football player, but I can't have somebody whose mistakes overshadow your ability to play the game. Like, it's like being a parent. I don't have the patience for the minor mistakes. Throw your stuff away. We've asked you to do this 1,000 times. And now, since you're not doing it, now I have to levy the punishment. Regardless of how good you are at what you do, you're not putting the team in a good position. He hurt the team on Friday night.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And to go with your analogy, he's the oldest kid, right? So he's getting pointed at. He's getting emphasized. The magnifying glass is on him. I still believe he's getting unfairly pinpointed, unfairly, you know, whatever. The attention is unfair to him. I watched football all day yesterday. I watched a bunch of tackles leave as early as Juwan Taylor does. But at this point, it's irrelevant what it is. It's irrelevant. It keeps happening. It needs to stop. It's ruining the Chiefs' drives. I thought Kingsley was really bad as well. I think Jalen Moore and Mike Caliendo both have a chance to be playing.
Well, and I also think, though, Mac, I mean, when Travis Kelce breaks the way that he did, you know, it's like, they've been telling this guy over and over and over and over and over and over, we don't put chicken wings in the garbage disposal. Mm-hmm. Why are there chicken wings in the garbage disposal?
It's chicken.
Why did you put the chicken? I didn't. You were the one eating the chicken wings. Why are they in the garbage disposal? Right? We don't do that. And you tell them over, and eventually you just get tired of it, and then you lose and you blow your mind, right? And you lose your cool. Everybody goes, man, that guy's getting mad at his kids. Why? Because I've told you 1,000 times, this is what we need you to do. And you didn't do it. That reaction by Travis Kelce wasn't because of just that game.
No.
That's 2 years plus a game of Travis Kelce reacting to Juwan Taylor. And because of that, I wouldn't hesitate to start Jalen Moore at that right tackle position.
All right, it is 6:30 on a Monday. Let's get to some overreactions here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan, you guys want me to start to really piss you off?
Sure.
Because I don't like to take credit for saying, like, well, I said it first, because I didn't say it first, but, like, I wasn't really, like, zoned in, and I didn't think it was going to take this much traction. I'll tell you what the Chiefs need to do. You go sign Tyreek Hill.
Well, he's not a free agent.
That's like horseradish.
I don't care what you do. Go get him. Go trade for him. Get him out of Miami. Bring him back to Kansas City. We haven't seen the deep ball really as effective since he left. He's clearly not wanted there. He doesn't want to be there. You need wide receiver help. I think Xavier Worthy is done for the year. Yes, I think this offense will be fine. I think they will figure things out. I'm scared about this defense. I truly am. The secondary, the pressure up front from the offensive line, by the way, playing a lot of mobile quarterbacks in the first 6 weeks of the season. You got, or I guess first 9 weeks of the season. Josh Allen will be here. Lamar Jackson will be there. Jalen Hurts is here next week at 325. Daniels from Washington will be there. They will absolutely pick you apart with no pressure. And if you're going to have to go back and try to keep up with players and keep up with teams, I think Tyreek Hill's here, and here's why. Yes, his exit was terrible. He said all these things. Look, Kareem Hunt came back. They brought Kareem Hunt back, and he did a lot worse things in season than what Tyreek Hill did. Now, I know Tyreek Hill has a pass, but again, Kareem Hunt has a pass too. They brought him back. It changed the way the offense moved. Tyreek Hill does not want to be in Miami. Miami does not want Tyreek Hill. That team is going to absolutely implode on itself probably next week. Daniel Jones went nuts on them this weekend.
They Daniel Jones looked like a Hall of Famer.
They got absolutely destroyed by Miami or by Indianapolis this week. At one point, I think at halftime, it was 20-0.
Yes.
There was a little garbage time touchdown at the end. But this is one of those situations that just seems too true to be, you know, looked past. I think you bring Tyreek Hill back. I think he'd be just fine. I think you could have one of those moments where, like, all the big dogs get in the office where it's Mark and it's Brett and maybe it's Clark and then Andy, and they sit there and said, all right, man, here's the deal. We're going to go back to this. We're going to need this, and here's what we can have make for this to be our offense. I think Tyreek Hill, call it overreaction if you want, which I think it is, I think Tyreek Hill belongs back in Kansas City to make this offense back to what it truly was, because guess what? You ain't got a running back, dude.
Well, I
can't run the ball.
I don't know that it's overreaction at all.
I mean, are you okay with it?
As long as they're okay with it, I'm okay with it. You know, I'm not the one that got insulted on the way out the door,
sure.
Right? I don't know what the dynamic was also after that Bengal game, at halftime of that Bengal game. Like, are they...
It's also 4 years ago.
I know, yeah. Are they repairable damages, right? Like, sometimes you leave and you burn a bridge and that is it, right?
That's fair.
I don't know, like, I don't know if they're repairable damages, but I do know the people that I talk to around the league when I've texted about this, crickets in response. And a lot of times when you get crickets in response, kind of on to something, I think. But I think everybody was kind of having that feeling yesterday. The acquisition cost, what's it going to take to get Tyreek Hill? You're going to have to give up draft picks. You're going to have to pay for all of that. I don't care about any of that. I just want to know if it's, what's the word I'm looking for? If they can welcome him back into the locker room, like, did he do enough damage to those guys inside that locker room that they can forgive and forget and move on? Because the damage that Kareem Hunt did, he didn't really do it to his teammates, right? I don't know what was said to this day at halftime of that Cincinnati game, but it was something that was bad enough that that caused them to trade basically Tyreek Hill at the end of that season and move on. And we've seen what happened since he was there. I've been thinking a lot about my overreaction for today. I could overreact to every game that has been played so yep. far in the NFL. And I'm making notes yesterday and I'm tracking some things. I'm like, I could overreact to this. I could overreact to that. I could overreact to this. I could overreact to that. And then I decided what I'm going to overreact to, right? You're cut from the mold of your parents. Russell Wilson sucks so bad. 6:14 to go before halftime in game one. The text arrives from my dad. Put in Dart. Put in Dart. And at that point in time, it. I'm like, okay, I'm probably going to have to overreact to this one.
Dad was in the maker's mark early.
I'll tell you, man, like, Russell Wilson.
He was terrible.
He was as bad as it gets. But that's the lesson that we all need to take away from Russell Wilson. And by all, I mean football fans. When an NFL team gets rid of a quarterback that has success, there's a reason why. And that guy is damaged goods. Mm-hmm. And since the Seattle Seahawks said, we're done, he's ruined Denver. He's not played great in Pittsburgh. And he stunk up the joint yesterday with the Giants. Now, they didn't commit to him for week two, which is, I guess, an overreaction maybe as well. They didn't commit to him.
Yeah.
But if you're Brian Daboll, Jackson Dart better go out there and knock him dead. Otherwise, you're speeding up your timetable, man. Because I thought for Daboll, if I'm Daboll, I'm not playing Jackson Dart at all.
No.
Self-preservation, baby.
You also played Washington.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yep.
Yep.
But again, you'll play the Chiefs in 3 weeks, and we'll see what Russell Wilson does then.
So we'll see if Jackson Dart's the starter by then. So that's what I'm... Just move on from Russell Wilson. Put Jameis Winston in there. Go get Tommy DeVito again. Anybody but this guy. He is done, and it is really embarrassing to watch that guy play football right now.
No, it's evident that guy sucks, and the offensive line isn't good enough for him to create space and get time.
Well, he's just bailing on every play away, too. You don't know if the offensive line is any good.
It's hard to judge completely, which has always been the case for him. It's like, oh, he takes a lot of sacks. The O-line, he always plays. No, it's him.
And then apparently we don't need to get Tyreek Hill because from the 913, Worthy will be just fine. I had the same injury in college, popped it back into place, put a brace on, boom, back the next game.
What if it's a tear? Because they are getting a second opinion on this just to make sure. So
what we know now is it's a separated shoulder. From reports, but there could be more. So they're going to be in town, get the doctors they know. So, Mac, what is your overreaction on a Monday?
Jared Goff is mid at best without an elite offensive line and elite coordinators. Jared Goff's record in starts without Sean McVay or Ben Johnson calling the plays. He is 3-17-1. Without elite play callers. He lost two offensive linemen.
Who
I mentioned
came
multiple.
Up with that stat? That's brilliant.
That's awesome. No, it's great.
That's good. I love it.
Jared Goff.
Someone said 0-19-1, and they were like, Gronk, is this true? And Gronk was like, close, 3-17-1 without Ben Johnson or Sean McVay.
Oh, so, Gronk got it for us. It wasn't Elias Sports Bureau, at least somebody reputable. We're going with Gronk, who came up with favorite 1970s movies as Wizard of Oz. But even still, I like
Gemini.
It.
Yeah. But yeah, no, exactly. So I would say, I mean, I mentioned the loss of the two offensive linemen, Zeitler and that other guy. Yeah, it showed. It showed yesterday for Goff, man. He needs time.
Kevin Zeitler was a really good hitting coach. It was tough. But again, what you told me this on, I think it was Friday, that Green Bay has a really good defense. Like their secondary
great
is
pass
top
rush.
Notch.
Yeah, great pass rush.
You could also have an overreaction Monday with the Chiefs to say, hey, Tyron, what are you doing?
No, he's on TV now.
I'm on board on that.
We need some help in that second because Big Stick, Jaden Hicks, eesh.
But you know what?
Tamari Connor targeted 7 times, 7 receptions for 100 yards.
Yeah, that wasn't great. But overall, this is a Spags defense. This happens all the time. And every year I find myself back here going, oh, my God, what's wrong with this defense? Because everybody's upset about the defense. His first year in New York, they gave up 72 combined points in the first 2 weeks and went on to win the Super Bowl. This is a Spags defense. It takes time. It happens every year where it starts a little bit slow. Everybody panics. Everybody loses their mind. And then they kick it in and they find a way to get better. And so Chris Jones, you got to play better. Got to play better out of Chris Jones. And he will. We all know that. And they'll figure this thing out because that's what they do. So I'm not sitting here going, oh, my God, the world's over because of a week one loss. Because half the teams in the NFL are saying the world's over then. And there's teams that won yesterday that I have no faith in, like the Raiders right now.
You can also stream your local NFL games all season long, kicking off with what that was, a juicy matchup in the start of the game. There's one tonight between the Bears and the Vikings, and it's just $30 for your first year. So that's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We dive more into what this Chiefs loss was and what it means moving forward because you got a big one in week two against the returning champs. Come at Arrowhead here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Creed Humphrey, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Wrapping up the first segment on a Tuesday here on 96.5 The Fan. Damn, glad to have you.
Or we can wrap up the first hour on a Monday.
Yeah.
Either way.
On a Monday. Feels like Friday. Yeah, Monday morning. Monday.
Kiss my ass.
Correct. One more game tonight, Bears and Vikings. I'm a little excited about this game.
Me too, man.
I'm excited to see Kevin O'Connell with his third quarterback. I really am. Like I'm in on Kevin O'Connell. I hope he doesn't disappoint. I hope J.J. McCarthy is good, and I can say, see, I told you he was good. But if J.J. goes out there in week one and stinks up the joint, boy, are we going to be off the bandwagon fast, right?
There is similarities but differences in both of these quarterback stories going into this game. Caleb Williams, again, will have a new head coach. We'll see if it works with Ben Johnson. He's got a lot of weapons around him in DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and two tight ends in Loveland. And, gosh, what's the other guy's name? I just forgot about
Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet. Then you've got DeAndre Swift back there, and then the kid out of Mizzou, Luther Burden, who you know probably celebrated Saturday with all those fans in Columbia. What a game that was.
Great game.
Fantastic game. And unless you're a Jayhawk fan.
Yes.
No, it was still a good game.
Awesome contest.
Yeah. It was everything. That's one of those things where like they sell it, and that's exactly what they got.
It lived up to it, yeah.
But we can continue to go through this Chiefs game that was on a Friday night, if you guys still remember that game that happened on Friday evening. But, I mean, look, I hit it right on top of the head with Juwan Taylor. Like, I'm calling overreaction, call it being, you know, spoiled or whatever. But, like, come on, man. Like, Travis Kelce has merited that sort of, I guess he's earned that sort of reaction. Because, I mean, you saw the video. He's, you know, right in his ear hole, you know, saying, you know, wake the F up, man. Like, stop doing this. Like, this is affecting everybody, and I've got to be the a-hole right now to get in your ear to tell you to man up.
But he's the right guy who should be doing
it. It's him or Patrick.
Right, that's it.
Or maybe Creed or Trey. I would give them a little bit, but I think Travis and Pat are the guys in that moment where it's like, you know, you're the veteran, you're the Hall of Famer, you're the guy. Like, yeah. You're the guy that's got to get this man in shape and tell him to, for me, honestly, I think the best move is to take him out of right tackle and put in Jalen
Moore. Well, you have an option, though. That's why you can do that now. It's not like you don't have options along the offensive line. You went out, and when free agency started, you targeted Jalen Moore. You gave him that money. You expected him to be your left tackle. I mean, that's why he was originally signed. Then the draft happened, and Simmons fell, and he was there and you know took off like gangbusters. And so now all of a sudden, I don't want to use the term surplus, but you have an extra kind of offensive tackle hanging out there that you thought would have been good enough to play left tackle for you this year, you know, at that spot with Patrick Mahomes and all that kind of goodness. If he was good enough in March to be your guy that you targeted to be your left tackle, he's good enough in September now to be your right tackle, right? I think that is an option that really that the Chiefs need to consider, you know, because when you break Travis Kelce like that in week one, you probably have been weighing on Travis Kelce's mind for a long period of time to have that type of reaction. That's not a reaction based on one game. That's a reaction based on 2 years and one game. And so I think because of that, Travis isn't the only one out there. And in the NFL, it's hard enough to win games as we see, right? It's very hard to win games. You can't have somebody on your team that gets penalized four times and kills offensive drives because of false starts, because of holdings. And four penalties in a game is an egregious amount of penalties in a game. I mean, it is an insane amount of penalties in a game for one individual. And this is coming from a Juwan Taylor apologist. But once I saw Travis Kelce break, that kind of changed my whole impression on everything. And they've got to figure out a way to make sure that, especially now with Xavier Worthy hurt, with Rashee Rice out, they've got to make sure that they're not hurting themselves from a penalty standpoint and costing themselves opportunity from things that can be prevented. And pre-snap penalties are the worst, man. You've got to find a way not to have those pre-snap penalties.
I mean, at this point, I don't know if he's my number one concern on the offensive line, but they do got to switch something. Jalen Moore and Mike Caliendo are both sitting there. They're both serviceable, at least as far as we know. Coaching staff's told us that. Kingsley was borderline unplayable. He was awful. He was a revolving door. And I hate to say that. He looked great in that last preseason game. But, man, that's going to be rough. I mean, that play that you saw Mahomes make on 4th-and-7, the only reason he's running to his right for his life is because the play is blown up immediately due to Kingsley. So, and that's without, you know, we're not talking about Jalen Carter next week, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Mike Florio says they're going to meet today about Jalen Carter. Who knows?
You get the point. Yeah. You get the point. Whether he's there or not, this offensive line is not ready to face someone like that.
No, yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree with that. Yeah, but, you know, but all the defensive lines, as we talked about to start the show, are really, really good right now. This league has getting better on defense, and it's happened over the last 3 or 4 years where there's a lot of great talent on the defensive side of the football now in the NFL. A lot more than there was when Patrick Mahomes first started in this league.
Wish we had some of it.
Yeah. Could Juwan Taylor play left guard? Or is he still going to jump?
More unconventional.
Early?
Yeah. I don't know. He's pretty big. I don't think that would work.
Okay.
I mean, you're saying
I don't know
that
enough, but
But they only gave up 27 points when it's all said and done. It wasn't like they went out there and gave up 40 and lost, or, you know, something like we saw last night. Like, you give up 27 points on most nights, that's good enough. That really is. That's good enough with this Chiefs offense to give up 20. If you would have told me they gave up 27 points, I would say, oh, they went 35-27, 28-27, something like that. They found a way to win a game. I think if Xavier Worthy doesn't get blown up to start the game, we may be looking at a completely different game. Like, because you heard at the end of the game, these guys believed and said Xavier Worthy was a big part of what they wanted to do in that game on Friday night. And so I wonder if the injury doesn't happen, how much different they look offensively. I just don't think 27 points is a lot anymore, you know, in the NFL. They gave them an opportunity to win if the offense didn't shoot themselves in the foot, you know, so many times.
I don't think judging a defense fully on their points is really enough context. To just be like judging an offense based on how many points they scored. Oh, offense wasn't that good. They only scored 24, right? Yeah. You know, you got to watch the game. That everyone was open. The running.
You're right. It wasn't a good look.
Yeah.
But again, this is what this defense always does. They F around between the 20s. And then they get down to the 20 and they figure out a way to stop them and force somebody to usually kick a field goal in those circumstances.
And
right?
That's, to me, that's the biggest takeaway is I don't care if it was 27 or 21 they lost. The problem was they couldn't get off the freaking field.
Yeah, they couldn't get off the field.
The Chargers had the ball for almost 6 minutes more than the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a problem because it was every third and four, first down. Keenan Allen coming around and just daggering your heart.
Even that Quentin Johnson guy was making plays. I mean, man, I was like, I shouldn't have said a damn thing about him. So let me ask you this then. So then you're on my side. Then Andy never should have gone for two in that situation with the defense playing the way that it was.
I think you have to go for
two. You don't. There's 10 minutes and 22 seconds left. Your defense can't get off the field. They can't get a stop. You are setting yourself up for now having to have a two-possession game. Terrible coaching decision by Andy Reid. Terrible coaching decision. That was a panic move by Andy Reid.
And that's coming. And you had to go for two because your field goal kicker missed an extra point.
Yeah, that, I mean.
But you didn't have to go for two. You don't chase points. You start chasing points, you end up losing games.
I think you go for two when you look at what the game is. And in that game, like, I didn't know if they were going to give Patrick Mahomes. Like, I don't know how much time.
There was 10 minutes and 22 seconds left in that game.
Okay, but they had the ball for 6 minutes more than the Chiefs did the entire game. There could be 10 minutes on the board, but they could have the ball for 7 minutes and go down the field and score again.
Right, which is why you don't put yourself in a two-possession game at that point in time. Nobody ever prepares for what happens if we don't get the two-point conversion. Everybody, because it's a machismo thing, right? We're all guys, we're going to be fine, we're going to get it, we're going to make the play. Nobody ever considers what happens when you don't make it. The Chiefs, as we've known for years, suck at short yardage situations. They just aren't good at it. And to put that defense back out on the field, to have to now essentially get two stops as opposed to one stop with the way that they were playing, terrible coaching decision by Andy Reid. I thought it was a very bad coaching decision by Andy Reid.
I don't hate it. I mean, Buffalo chased points all night last night, and they came back and won 41-40.
Yeah, I would.
So, I mean, I don't hate the going for it because I was in my living room when that happened. I got the two fingers up.
Yeah, like, because everybody likes those round numbers. It's natural to think that
to do
way.
With numbers.
No, I absolutely it does. Coaches look at
That's
it all the
think.
Time.
I'm telling you what I think. It has nothing to do with round numbers. It has something to do with you're getting your ass kicked all night. You can't get the defense off the field, and you need to get as many points as you possibly can at that moment because if you get that two-point conversion, you can change the way that the Chargers go out there and do their game, and then you've taken them out of their element.
But you don't need to go for two at that point in time, and you didn't get it. And at that point in time, you don't need to go for two with 10-22 to go in that game when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. And especially the way that that defense is playing. Take as many points as you can when you can get. You missed an extra point. You missed it. Don't go chase that. Stop. What it's like in life. You missed that opportunity. Go get the next one. You start chasing opportunities that you missed. That's when you get put in a bad situation. Move on. Move forward. That didn't happen. Forget about it. Find a way to get it the other way. Kick that extra point. Give yourself the opportunity to always be in a one-score type of game because the minute you didn't do that, they went up by two scores, and then it became almost impossible to find a way to win that football game. And so I just think at that point in time, that was a panic move. We don't see those a lot by Andy, but we did see that panic move, I thought, going for two.
Yeah, agree to disagree. I mean, I think you were in panic the minute that you lost your wide receiver one. You got to do things differently. You got to change the way the game is played. You weren't getting the ball back. Justin Herbert was being able to sit back in the pocket all day. I think if you go for two there, you change the outcome of the game, and maybe you get a little bit of boost from that. You needed something. You need a shot in the arm. Juwan Taylor was a buzzkill. Nobody could get open. People were dropping passes. At that point in the game, you've got Kareem Hunt for a reason. Give me the 2-yard run and get through there. I mean, I just It just didn't happen. You didn't get it, but I don't disagree with the take. I think it's fine that you went for two there because you had to do anything and everything you could to get the momentum away from the Chargers and into your side. Did you get it? No, you didn't get it. But if you got it, we have a different conversation today, in my opinion. Coming up on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty, we get into what that game was on Saturday because I think Eli Drinkwitz had his Ned Yost moment. I'll explain why the two are comparable in that moment yesterday, Saturday, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.